Welcome back to That's Cricket, and this is the third Ashes preview. This episode is brought to you by Runmaker. Liam, are you excited for Australia to go 3-0 up in this test?
I'm excited to watch some good cricket. I mean, this is the challenge, right? Australia's hard to play cricket. As Stokesy said in his post-match interview, it's no place for weak men.
No place for weak men.
It's exciting for the fact that they've gone away. They've had a little bit of a holiday down on the beach, on the coastline there.
A little bit of a holiday, yes.
They're going to showcase the tan. But I think it's an opportunity for people to stand up. It's a new game. It's a new day. It's an opportunity for people to get hundreds, to take wickets, to try and bring them back into this series. And hopefully, yeah, there's no place for weak men. So let's go, boys. Let's stand up. Let's showcase what we have.
It is a good opportunity for them to score some runs and play some good cricket. Fun fact, England has spent more time at the beach than they have in the middle.
Yeah?
Yeah. They've played more rounds of golf than they have scored runs.
I mean, it sounds delightful.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you go to Australia for, right? You want to play some nice golf. You want to be by the beach. You want to have fun.
Mm.
Playing cricket, that's just an afterthought. That's just... Maybe playing good cricket, batting the day, that's afterthought, right?
I've got a thought. I know a company that does beach cricket.
Oh, yeah? Maybe, yeah. Oh, we could do that for sure, yeah.
Maybe we can just collaborate.
We could collaborate. Guys. That's better. Next Ashes, screw the five test series, get them down. We have a five beach series.
Five beach series, cricket impact group host. It'd be unbelievable. The crowds would come in.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah.
Maybe one day of golf, four days of cricket.
Yeah, we have more cricket. 5 days of cricket, 5 days of golf. Why not? Well, a bit of both, right?
Now we're talking.
That's a whole thing now. See, now we're expanding. But selection headaches are going to be here for Australia. England's lineup is in.
The tongue's in.
The tongue is in. We were waiting three test matches to say the tongue is in. We speculated the tongue might come in. Last test. That was a good one. That was a good one. Didn't even prep that one. that's fantastic. Wood is out. Jax is staying in. Atkinson out, and the tongue comes in for England.
Okay, mate. Yeah. You got it. Firstly, I'm devastated for Woody. Obviously, he's a game changer. He's the one who can bowl 150 plus. He showcased some skill in the first test. He's obviously injury. And I know what it's like. It's very frustrating. His mind wants it, but his body's not holding up. So I feel for him because he could have came into the next test and bowled rockets and picked up a fifer. So obviously devastated with that. Josh Tung comes in. A great chance to showcase what he has. The wickets probably not going to do as much as the last two. I mean, the wickets were great. I love the last two wickets. But yeah, it's obviously a challenge for him, but it's also a new look. Australia have not seen too much of him, so they're going to face a new bowler, and hopefully he takes some pulls. He looks to run the ball in a little bit. A lot of his highlights are bowled and LBs, and then the odd one's going to hold its line to potentially get a nick.
Nice. Well, yeah, England do need something there to kind of get that breakthrough. It took Atkinson almost to the very last day of that test to capture a wicket. He had gone without a wicket. And look, in Australia's lineup, they have, selection headaches. They got Cummins going back in, which is a big win. Lyon's going to come back, which is a huge win. That's going to force Doggett and Inglis out of the side.
Yep.
And then we still have the conversation around, are they going to bring Khawaja back? Are they going to put him back at the top of the order? And then if they do, then that would push Nasir out, you would say. So what are we thinking for the lineup for Australia? How are they going to go? What are we thinking?
I am thinking keeping head. Because England do not like to bowl to him. Sometimes he doesn't look pretty, like we mentioned before, but he changes the game. An absolute match winner. And even though he didn't get big runs last game, he still put the pressure on England from the word go. So unfortunately, I like Khawaja as a player, but I would keep him out because the way the momentum's going, the games are going really well for Australia. I would dog it out, Pat Cummins in, and then potentially I would Josh English to miss out and Lyon to come in. So Cummins in, Lyon in, and then Khawaja would stay out, Doggett out, Inglis out, Nasir in. I would keep Nasir in because he just offers that ability for a different look for the keeper to come up, a bit like Carey did the last game.
Yeah.
Puts pressure on the batsman, make him maybe stay in the crease a little bit. And I like the way he bowled. He was consistent. He didn't look to do anything special. He just looked to hit the top of off stumps. From the first innings, he probably tried too much, as we touched on. He was trying to go away swinger, bouncer, in swinger.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of learned on that on the second innings when he picked up the wickets. He was hitting his block, his little yardage, his little piece of paper on the ground there.
Yeah.
He was creating indentations. He was like forming a bit of a crater there where he was hitting. Yeah. And he was outstanding. You want to bring that momentum to the next test, you know? And how much can Pat Cummins bowl? Obviously, you want to come back in fully fit. He's not going to play a test until he's fully fit, but it might take the pressure off where you have Nasir and Boland who can do a lot of overs.
Yeah, I think obviously having Cummins come back is going to be huge for Australia. I mean, they've got their lineup is stacked already. Everyone's performed to this point. You know, Doggett's got taken 5 wickets over the first game. Neeson obviously took his 5 in 1 innings.
Yeah,
it's we have a plethora of talent there in the bowling lineup for Australia. They're able to make the impact, and I think Pat Cummins coming in, he'll just make a bigger impact. He'll be able to be a little more explosive. Obviously, he's the best of those bowlers. You know what I mean? So it's going to be good for Australia. Not looking good for England.
The comeback.
Opportunity for a comeback. Adelaide is known for comebacks.
What about Pat Cummins' comeback? Cummins is back.
Cummins is back and the tongue is in. Yeah, that's the
wow. Here we go.
Adelaide is known for its comebacks. If you think back to the amazing Adelaide, I think it was 06, where you had Hussey scoring the winning runs right at the end. In England had basically wrapped up the game. They were so far ahead, and then big collapse, and then Australia come back on the final day.
I mean, I was watching that from the dressing room, so I know that very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that very well. It was funny because that series, we didn't have a leg spinner, and Duncan Fletcher made me bowl a leg spin in the net to prepare for Shane Warne. I was like, I'm a little bit different than Shane Warne.
Yeah.
You know? But I remember that test very well. England were in a good position, and obviously Huss did what he did.
Yeah.
Great player, and obviously took that away from us.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. That maybe it's gonna, the script will flip, and England will have a chance to have a big comeback here, get it back in order for the Ashes. So batters under pressure. I wrote a short list of some batters that are under pressure. I'm going to read them off.
I think you're going to say everyone apart from Root.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a short list. I got Crawley, Duckett, Pope, Root, Brooks, Stokes, Jax, Koss, Archer, and Tongue on my list for England. Okay. Short list of people that are under pressure. And then for the Aussies, I have just Khawaja, if he does come back to play.
I like that. And that's true, right? I mean, Rooty's probably no pressure. He got 130 not. He wants to. I listened to a podcast he did with Nasser Sain yesterday, and it is like you make mistakes, right? It's Rooty, one of the best players that's ever played the game, can make mistakes. He came in, then got 100. His confidence would be a lot higher now. But yeah, there's pressure on everyone.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about the best sportsman in the world is like, how can you deal with that pressure? How can you step up and score in an environment that's tough? It is tough. Australia is one of the toughest places to play cricket, and when you go down 2-0, it becomes tougher.
Yeah,
but I think someone will step up, a Harry Brook or a Duckett, and do something special. That's the thing with Harry Brook. I think he doesn't overcomplicate it. He's going to play his way. And I think potentially this game, he's going to do something crazy and exciting to watch. He'll score like a quick 100 or 150. Or he did in Pakistan. He'll just keep going and going and going and getting a double. I see that coming.
Yeah. Well, he was out in the presser talking about how he played some stupid shots and he regrets the shots that he played. So I don't know. I think they're all better. They should all be reeling it in a little bit. Like we spoke, I believe Bazball is dead and it's the dumbest thing in the world. They should all be reeling it in. They should be playing to play 5 days of cricket. They're all incredible batters.
You play to win.
World-class batters.
How do you win? So the Bazball thing, England don't like to be called Bazball. Obviously what they're doing now is not working. How do you win a test? Whether that's in 4 days, 5 days, what's the best format for you? What's the best strategy to win a test? That's at the end of the day, it's winning a game.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is batting the day.
Correct.
That is sometimes batting the day. Like you think back when they were 99 runs ahead and they happened to lose all their wickets and then only got a 140 run lead or whatever. That they could have just batted for the whole day and just stayed out there, got the ball up, gave themselves some time, saw themselves in, chose not to.
To your point as well, it's like sometimes you do have to bat a day. Sometimes it's absorbing the pressure for someone who's bowled a really good spell. And then if someone else comes on and it's not as threatening, that's when you take advantage and your Brook plays your shots or your Stokes plays your shots. It's knowing when to pull the trigger on it. But you're right. I think absorbing that pressure, potentially could bat a day and a half. I think that's key.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see if they do change their mode of attack. Like a Stokes, he batted 50 for 155 balls, 51 balls or something, which was good cricket. That's what you want to see. And him and Jax put a good partnership together.
They've kept
Jax in because it really extends the batting lineup. There's the go Jax or Bashir, but potentially Bashir better spinner, potentially, arguably. But Jax extends the lineup because Jax opens the batting. Jax bats higher up in the order and on the formats, but he batted really well. I think he batted really well in that test, and it was just unfortunate that kind of gotten away from them at that point. But hopefully he makes another impact for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's not Jack's normal game. Mm-hmm. When you see him play county cricket or even T20 specialist, white ball specialist, he smacks it. and he hits the ball very, very far. So it just shows you what he has, what his talent he has. He can absorb pressure and he can put away the bad ball. So it's obviously promising for England. I think in terms of him being a spinner, I think he's got better and better. If the wicket spins, he will spin it. But he also gets wicket potentially going like first slip right-hander to nick off a bit, like he got that wicket in the second test there. But also you got Rooty can bowl one or two overs. I'm surprised, obviously, we know the team that Bethell maybe didn't come in for Ollie Pope because he offers another variation of spin, which is his lefties, I think, right? So that's going away from the right-hander. So I'm surprised they didn't do that. But also it's good when you've got a coach and a captain who want to back the players who got picked in the first test. It's like, listen, you haven't scored runs in the four innings, but we back you to score runs in the third test.
Yeah.
Go away, do your thing.
Yeah.
It's always nice to be backed.
Yeah, you got five tests, 10 innings is... Obviously, at this point, it's a do-or-die game here for England. If they lose, it's Ashes is over. This Ashes has provided us with amazing moments, and we are so thankful to Runmaker VR for being part of the show. Runmaker VR is your virtual reality indoor net session that you can improve your game from the comfort of your own home. You can train your reflexes with lifelike pace, refine your technique with real-time feedback, and take on sessions inspired by legends to help your game improve in the middle. This Ashes, don't just be a spectator, own the moment. Work on your short ball, work on your cover drive, even your ramp shot, and without real-time feedback, you can record your sessions and you can send it to a coach to make sure that your game is on point this season. Your journey starts on the pitch with Runmaker VR. Download Runmaker VR and save the sessions with code RUNMAKERSUB-E6EFEA to get 50% off your first 6-month subscription when signing up before January 31st. Thank you again to Runmaker for getting behind That's Cricket Podcast. Cummins returning, which means that a captaincy may switch. Well, it will switch. You would expect it to go back to Cummins to become the captain.
Yeah.
What happens here if it's a bad game for Australia and something goes wrong and they lose? Is it going to be like, do we bring Smith back? Is there something?
I don't think so. I think your captain's your captain. He was injured and couldn't play, but he's obviously a massive part of the squad. You see him there at the tests, and I'm sure he has a lot of influence on obviously his selection and potentially some team talks. Maybe you'll let Smith control that first and second test, but he's your captain. He's Australia's captain. He's done well leading up to this Ashes. But yeah, I mean, he's going to take the reins on the third test. And even if they win, lose, draw, I think he's going to continue when he plays.
Yeah. Well, I think something's interesting about captaincy, and I'm going to get your perspective on this. Like, I look at different captains that field in the slips and captains that field at mid-off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pat Cummins is a mid-off captain and Steve Smith is a slips captain.
Right.
You think about someone like Sharma was a slips captain, and then when Boomer didn't, he wasn't in the slips when he captained, right?
Yeah.
So have you ever, is there anything from a player's perspective, like noticing if who you captained, and then were they captaining from the slips or were they captaining from mid-off?
I was going to say it's more added pressure if you're a slip catcher because you've got a lot of things to think about. I mean, you concentrate in every ball. Every fielding position, you have to concentrate every ball, but mid-off, it's an important position, but slips are a very important position. Because you're fully in the action, a nick, a catch, and if you start dropping it, but Smith handles it really well. It's a different point of view because he's looking at the game from the slips position, and maybe he can see what the batsman's trying to do a little bit better, maybe communicate that to the bowler. But I don't think it makes too much of a difference. I think you're comfortable where you field and that's your position. Pat Cummins is great at mid-on, mid-off because you can speak to the bowler also. Obviously, Pat Cummins being one of the best bowlers in the world, he might be offering some little bits of advice for when the bowler's walking back to his mark. If the bowler doesn't feel in good rhythm, you got Pat Cummins can maybe control it to settle it down and say, you're doing a great job. How about try this? And just back the bowler. That kind of worked for me when I was playing with England. Owen Morgan potentially would always be able to have access, whether it's from short cover. He could always speak to you. So I like the guidance of someone who thinks about the game, who can speak to you about the game from mid on, mid off.
Yeah, it's interesting because like I said, Smith is that slip position captain, and it's just a different dynamic of him changing the field from slip than someone changing the field from mid off, mid on. Because even Stokesy fields at mid off, mid on, and he's captaining from there. And I don't know if it makes a difference captaining, like seeing if you see the game differently from mid on, mid off if you do from behind the wicket.
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve Smith's such a cricket badger in the nicest way possible. He thinks about the game, and when you listen to him speak in podcasts or TV interviews, he's nonstop thinking about the game. Well, he doesn't sleep until he's the first ball of a game, right? Which is crazy, but I think he's just got such a good cricket brain that it wouldn't matter where he fields.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And you'd still, obviously coming in to captain. Smith will take a backseat VP, vice captain role. Who is vice captain? Is there a vice captain? I don't know who that is.
Got to be Smith, right? I mean, you think it's Smith.
Right? I don't know. So moving on, the conditions of the pitch. We got an Adelaide pitch, drop-in pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Wickets have been good so far.
Great wickets. I love the wickets.
Great wickets so far. Flat wicket coming into Adelaide. It's not known for the spiciest pitch in the world, but short boundary side to side. That's one thing about Adelaide is they have unique shorter boundaries, square, and then longer boundaries forward. Thoughts on the pitch and the Adelaide Oval?
Yeah, touching on the last two tests, and someone scored 100 in the first test and the second test. Rudy scored 100. Trevor Head scored 100. So the wickets were great, in my opinion. You have to find a way to score, and that's what they did. Travis was aggressive, Rooty not so much, but people scored hundreds. I think this wicket, spinners are going to come into play a little bit more. It might get a little bit drier, but it's generally a good wicket. The boundaries are a shorter square. That could be an advantage for some like your Duckett, your Crawley, who like to score quickly on the previous two grounds where it's bigger. Obviously, your little clip off your leg might go for two. I think in Adelaide, they score quicker.
Yeah.
And once England get going, I think they're hard to stop.
Yeah.
So I feel like it could be more of like an England position where it's shorter, more boundaries would be scored up top. And maybe also Duckett might throw his hands up a bit more because he might think there's an opportunity to score quick here.
Yeah.
Which gives a chance to Australia again. But I think he just needs to get going. He's not got going yet. He needs to find his way, his method to score some runs. And it'd be interesting to see how he attacks that. Yeah. I think he got stuck in his crease, but... this wicket might help him. I think it'd be a good wicket, be true bounce, there'd be some runs scored. And if you're digging enough, there's plenty in the pitch to be able to nick someone off and it'll spin later on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a ideal if you hit like you can square the wicket, shorter boundaries. And like I said, in England are used to the shorter boundaries and Australian boundaries and faster outfields in England with the slopes and everything. And, you know, sometimes you hit a beautiful shot, you think it's four, but in Australia, it's not four. You got an extra 10 meters to go before it gets to the row, which can put doubt in the batter and it can make a little, you know, negative thought in your head. You're going to hit a little harder next time to get to the boundary and all of a sudden now you've played a false shot and away you go.
I'll tell you who loves to play on this wicket and has played on this wicket many, many times.
Who's that?
Travis Head.
Travis Head. Yeah. Travis Head's coming home. It's a homecoming. Homecoming for Travis. The King of England. King of England. He's the King of England now, pretty much, right?
Who's that?
Travis Head.
Travis Head, King of
King
England.
King of England.
I thought you meant English because he was born in England. I thought...
No, he's the King of England.
But when I look at the players on both teams on that pitch, you look at your Duckett, you look at Harry Brook, and you look at Travis Head, the people who can score on them unique sort of angles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, but then you look at Steve Smith, the ability of someone to score runs. He's not needed to score runs yet.
No.
So I should imagine like the way that he attacked Jofra the last game, that he's going to be in prime. He's going to be good to go. He knows that they've won two tests. He wants an opportunity to get 100.
Yes.
So, yeah. Watch that space.
Speaking of Steve Smith, this next segment is the Runmaker. The segment is brought to you by Runmaker. The X Factor in this next test. It's kind of a two. It's kind of talking about head-for-head here. Steve Smith versus Jofra Archer.
Head to head, not Travis Head.
It's a head to head, but it's not Travis Head. These are the X factors. Again, brought to you by Runmaker. So spicy end to the last test.
Like a bit of spice.
Hey champ, you know bowling quick when it's not worth anything. bowling champ. Love the bowling champion.
I love that passage of play because I think Brendan McCullum touched on this. Is what's Jofra supposed to come out and do? Is he going to run up and bowl 70 miles an hour because the game's potentially finished? Or he says, listen, I'm going to give it a massive crack. I'm going to run up and I'm going to bowl rockets, which he did, bowl 155. He's bowling express pace. And it wasn't comfortable. You could tell by the Australian batsman. It wasn't comfortable until Smith came in. And Smith loves that challenge.
He loves that.
Yeah. When he first came in, it's like, how's this going to be? Because sometimes when you've seen him in the past, sometimes short bowling's not like, he sort of like gets caught out the way. And it's sometimes uncomfortable. But he was like, I'm going to go into this and I'm going to finish the game as quick as possible. Jofra's going to bowl rockets and I'm just going to get inside it and I'm going to absolutely swat it for six.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Got a little chirpy. They kept the stump marks rolling.
Loved it.
It was very good. And then he had like the whole like this thing looking down the barrel of him. I don't know what that was all about, but he was looking down the barrel with the glove and everything. And
that made a statement. That finished the test off. And it's like, listen, whatever you've got, you're quickest. I'm going to take you on and I'll see you next test, champ.
I think the argument is, why wasn't he doing that like at the back end of the first and second tests? Like, why wasn't he doing it in the first spell? Why wasn't he doing it at the back end of the first test?
I like Joff a lot. So I try to be, it's like the armchair critic, but I don't know what his fitness like. He might come up and ball a spell to ball rockets. And then the second spell, does he have that in the tank? When you look at the best and the guys who've played the game, like your Brett Lee and Dale Steyn, and they have the ability to do it back to back to back to back. Obviously not a 93, 94 all the time, but maybe that's the one thing for Joffre in terms of his fitness. Does he have the ability to go 150 first innings, second innings? Because that's the thing that makes him different. Yeah. He is skillful, but that pace does cause panic. Even though Smith played him well, it's obviously not comfortable.
Yeah.
You're making someone do something different and something they might not normally do.
Yeah.
So yeah, does he have the ability to go back to back to back? If he doesn't, then it's maybe a fitness thing.
Yeah, I mean, the fitness thing in fast bowling is totally nuts. Like, it's totally different than baseball in America, where you're just standing at one throw and throwing. You're also running in. You're also running in at a hot pace. Some running faster than others, but you're running, and then you're, like, literally throwing your entire body weight, you know, with 10x your body weight into that front leg. It takes a lot out of the body. You have to be, high-level fitness to be able to pull that off.
I agree. I mean, also, it's not like Joffre's not trying to ball quick. Yeah. Sometimes, like, as the average person who goes out to do fitness, sometimes when you run training for a marathon, some days you feel great, some days you don't feel great.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes you'll turn up and it's like, it clicks and you're feeling the rhythm, everything's smooth and easy and you ball 155. And then some days you don't, you've got heavy legs. Maybe you've had that energy dump before you go out there and you're trying to release it and it's just not coming. That's why the people who've got longevity have the ability to ball quick over and over again. It's an amazing opportunity. Like, it's amazing to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've played a lot of cricket. When I did ball quick back in the day, sometimes I would ball quick, sometimes I wouldn't. It is frustrating. But the best bowlers can also, if they're not bowling at the high speeds of 150s, they can operate in 140s and still be effective and skillful. So it's figuring out, how does it look today? How can I help the team win? How can I help the team take wickets? If it's not bowling rockets and bowling bouncers, I'm going to settle in. I'm going to hit that little gap on the floor over and over again and help the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for Archer, he was bowling right arm round the wicket bouncers. And I mean, you can just help it on its way. I mean, if you're going to bowl bouncers, wouldn't you better off coming over around the wicket?
I think when you've looked at the stuff where Smith has struggled, he struggled against Wagner bowling 132 into his armpit with that left arm around the wicket.
Yeah.
We've seen the clips of him bowling to Wade and to Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't feel comfortable, but also as a batter, you can improve from previous series, previous years.
Yeah.
Steve Smith might have worked on that because he knew that's what's going to happen. It's not easy to play. It's hard to play. And from us watching TV, it's like, oh, it's easy just to step inside and whack it. That ball's coming at serious pace at 95 miles an hour. So the ability to Steve Smith, who's one of the best who's ever played the game, to be able to play like that shows you how good he is.
Yeah. No, very good. And he is our X factor, our run maker for this test. Fatigue, you mentioned burnout or fatigue for the bowlers. They, you know, weren't able to get up the RPMs up that first back end of that first test. Joffre did get it up.
Joffre got it up. Oh my God. Jesus, mate. You're on one today, mate.
For the second test, I ran that 150 clicks. They've been away, they've been to the beach, they've had a time to rest, recover. They get extra days to recover between one and two. A couple of days rest more than extra they would have got. What can we expect coming into this test? Are they gonna be ready to go?
I think it's also what led to the first test as well, right? Because I know when you start a season, whether it's county cricket, it's like, what do you have in your legs before that first game starts? Obviously, I don't think they had enough practice, and I think everyone says that. You can have net practice, you can have 4 or 5 days, but it's not match intensity. You can play a friendly against a Lions team, but it doesn't make you ready to play that first test. They've played 2 games now, and I know they haven't bowled millions of overs, but they felt what it's like in a stadium. They felt overs in the legs. So I think they will be ready. But I think they should be fresh. I just think they were undercooked for the first test.
Undercooked.
Yeah.
They were... Baz was out coming saying that they were overprepared. They had overtrained.
The thing, I think he touched on that because he did another interview. And I think they, just say for instance, don't quote me on this, they maybe booked out the nets for 5-6 sessions. And I think sometimes too much Nets and over-preparing in the Nets is not good for you.
Mm.
You know, it's like, are you going to the Nets just because the Nets are available? What are you getting out of your session? Some of the best players in the world, if someone's scoring runs like hundreds back-to-back in test, he might not go in the net once because he feels in such a good space that he doesn't need to do it. He might get some underarm feeds from a coach and hit the ball into the net. So sometimes I think you can't over-net.
Yeah, with you on that for sure.
Yeah, and I think potentially that's what Baz said.
Yeah.
I think maybe there's too many nets, but that doesn't change the fact like they could have got better preparation leading to the first test. And obviously the dynamics of the world cricket and franchises and ODIs and T20 doesn't make it easy to do that.
Yeah. I don't know how people do a full net session before they go out to bat. Like how they do the wiffle ball thing or the whip thing. Back in my day, we just underarm into the net. Like that's all I needed to get the eye in. Like, I don't know. These guys are like full netting before games. I'm like, how do you full net before a game? I'm like, don't bowl full net to me. I don't want full speed before the game. I just want to get the... just get the iron. It's like 100 like underhand knocks. It's like, okay, they get the rhythm down, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, bit of underarm drive, back foot pull, feel good. I think it's whatever suits that batsman. Sometimes someone might want waking up and they want to get rid of their mistakes in an early net session before the game. They might someone to throw at them good pace so the reactions get fired up before the first ball, you know? Some people don't. Some people have underarms, like you said, and they take the time and it's very cruisy. They get what they want. They go and have some food, have a smoothie, come back for the first ball of the test. But each to their own, and that's the beauty of cricket and sports is everyone prepares different. And obviously, Ruti and the guys have a special way of doing it. And some people like to face rockets in the net.
Yeah. Bold predictions. Do we have anything big, bold prediction for this test? 5 wicket holes, 100.
I'm going to go with Duckett 100. I'm going to give the England point of view.
Okay.
Duckett 100, Root 100, Brook 100.
Wow.
I feel like that.
That's a bit, wow. Clipping that for later.
You can clip that. And I'll give you a little smile for it because that'll be the one. I also think that Jofra will get fired up. Steve Smith will play him very cruisy, I think, but I think he'll pick up Pfeiffer and I think he's going to come out hard. So it's the people at the other end who are going to feel the brunt of Jofra. Okay. Maybe that tail end down there are going to get a few tasty leather balls across the face. You know?
We got Jofra getting 5. We got Duckett in for 100.
Yep.
Root in for 100.
Yep.
Who else in for 100? Crawley, you said? Or
Duckett, Brook, Crawley.
Wow.
England are going
to... a lot of runs.
England might, if they're bat first, England will be 85 for none.
85 for none.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You're saying that Stark isn't getting a wicket in his first over?
I think it'd be different pitch. I think not as much bounce. And I think Australia are really good when the ball bounces and England don't know how to play it as good as Australia do. I think the lack of bounce will help England's batters.
Okay, so I'll counter with in-swinging Yorker LB.
I'm not going to come in tomorrow for the first over, right? just in case it goes off.
We've got another... we're 2 for 2. We got to get another Starkey first over wicket. It's six ball is the that's the ball you want. You actually want to face Stark now because it's been the sixth ball that gets the wicket. So you want to face the first couple of balls and then get off strike, and then the sixth ball you're out of here. For me, you'd have to say Travis Head at home. You got to back Travis Head at home getting the
with
runs,
you.
Even if it's at 1 or at 5, it wouldn't matter. He's still going to get runs at home and
quickly.
Yeah, quickly. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, Weatherold also should get some runs. I think there's no one on the Australian team that isn't going to get runs. I mean, everyone got double figures last game. So they bat all the way down. Cummins comes back. He'll get some runs.
I feel you're right. Well, also Steve Smith as well. Best player in the world. Has not an opportunity. I think Josh Tung might be a little bit expensive, but he's going to pick up wickets.
Well, you're okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Depends how expensive.
Yeah. Well, chase the runs down. But you need wickets. You need 10 wickets.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. If you go for 200 runs and you get 10 wickets, you get 10 wickets. So.
Yeah. Speaking about, I know we're bouncing around, but I mean, Atkinson, I thought, was very consistent. And obviously, he's been dropped out. So it's like, who's going to be that person who can ball dot balls now? Because I'm not sure Tung's your man.
He isn't in the dot ball guy?
No. Well, let's see.
It's okay. We need to talk about wickets. And I mean, also, I got to also shout out Alex Carey. Alex Carey, South Australian.
He could get 100.
He could get some 100 at home.
He's looked good as well.
100 at home. He is just the underrated batter. He's so good. I think that he could open the batting. He's done such a good job. Obviously, he does a very, very good role at that 6 spot or seven spot. I know I did that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I tried to get away from it. I did it accidentally. But yeah, obviously he's a key part of the batting for Australia. And just such a great job. Like getting to get a 50 down the order, this helps the team out so much. You know, even if the top order does their job, to keep continuing batting long periods of time is great.
Mm-hmm.
So lessons learned. What clear lessons come up in the first tests and what can England take away? What have they learned?
Don't drop catches.
Don't drop catches. Catches win matches.
Yes, they
do. Take that away.
I think England need to be patient as well. I think when you're looking at the batting, we spoke about this, is how do we win the game? Sometimes that's bat for a long time. Still be positive, but maybe rein it in a little bit. Bowling also, you need to bowl in partnerships. England haven't done that great yet. Obviously, Stokesy's been excellent with the ball and bat. I think not so much with the bat, but last innings he was good and he batted a long time. So England need to be patient with bat and ball. With that, it doesn't mean you have to be defensive. You just have to pick the right opportunities. But yeah, partnerships with the ball, partnerships with the bat. Don't drop catches, score hundreds, get fifers, then you're in a good spot. Easy.
That's cricket right there.
Yeah.
That's cricket. No, I'm all about anti-baz ball and, you know, just playing proper cricket, you know, getting Stokesy's 50 from 151. I'll always talk about that. It's just good cricket. Play that cricket. You know, that's what you need sometimes. You don't need to go after everything.
As Joe Root said in an interview yesterday, play your own way. That should be effective, right?
Yes.
And what does that look like? Each person's different.
Yes. Is there a single moment or a single session or a single decision that England would look back and say, we probably want to do that different. Probably do that again. Probably...
I just think in terms of that, when England were batting, when Stark was at the first innings and everyone was just wafting out off stump, it was like, what were we doing there?
Yeah.
Rooty got out, Harry Brook got out, was a good ball, Will Jacks got out, Cass got out, and it was very similar dismissals. Like, what were we doing in that period of play where we could have probably batted a little longer? And I think they might look back and said, we didn't need to go at that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It felt like it was such a passage of play where England went bang, 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 bang. And it's just like, we didn't need to do that. And I think that was a silly bit of cricket.
Yeah, I think they definitely changed up their tactics from first test to second test. Yeah. And obviously played much better in the second test. Will it be enough, though, in the third test? Bowling plans? Well, how would you bowl? What are you going to bowl? Give me some. What would you do here? Nisa, like you mentioned, has been bowling in that box. Carries coming up to the stumps. A lot of pressure on the batter. Because you've got to keep the batter in the crease when the keeper's up to the stumps.
Yep.
England bowled a lot of short stuff. You know, what would you be thinking here? What would they be doing? What are their plans to try to, like, tie Australia down?
I think each batsman has an individual plan. I think the bowlers would be looking at that in the team meetings and obviously through the analytics of it. But I think it's, you don't go far away from, like, hit the top of the stumps as much as you can, make the batsman play. The old quick bouncer, and then different passages of play where if someone might comes in and the ball's not doing much and there's a partnership, then you bowl quick and you bowl short. But I think at the end of the day, what do the best bowlers do in the world? Your Glenn McGraths, your Jimmy Anderson, they hit the same spot over and over again and create chances. There might be a dead space where there's no wickets, but they're not scoring runs. When you're patient and you manage to hit your pocket as a bowler, the batsmen sometimes do something different. They might get a little bit frustrated and try and score runs, which creates chances. So I think, what do the best bowlers do in the world? That's what I look to replicate.
Hit that top of off. That's what you want to be. So will it reach 5 days? Will we get a 5-day test?
I think we will here.
You reckon we'll get a 5-day test?
Yeah.
What's the over-under on more than less than 3 days?
I wouldn't.
I think four days is probably... I'm comfortable saying 4 days.
You think four?
I'm thinking four days.
What's the weather forecast?
Oh, that would be nice to know. But we said during the live stream of that second test that I think it was at the end of the first. Yeah, it was after Crawley hit the four. I was like, oh, it's going to go 4 days now.
Yeah,
that's it. We'll know in the first over of our live stream, which will be streamed for the first session as usual.
Yep. We will be. We'll be there.
We will know. During that over, how many days it will go?
Yeah, I think it's going to go to the fifth test. I think it's not going to bounce as much as we said earlier, and I think England batters are going to get some runs. I'm not sure who's going to win it because Australia are flying, and if England start to lose a couple of wickets, then we know what that feeling like in the dressing room, and are they just going to replay the same first test, second test, and wickets are going to go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, England under pressure, England shit the bed. Who knows?
But one brings two.
Partnerships, please.
So I'm gonna say Australia win the toss, Australia bat, Australia get 450, and then just England out of the game.
I think we should watch in this space. I think Harry Brooks is going to do something special.
Here we go.
Let us
know below what you think. So we're going to switch gears here, team. That's your Ashes. That's your Ashes wrap. We're going to do a little IPL news because the IPL auction is bleeding into the Ashes coverage.
Yep.
So big news. We've got a big auction coming up. KKR's got a whole lot of money to spend. CSK has a whole lot of money to spend. A lot of Australians up for bid. Some English up for bid.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your unicorns, fellow unicorns, San Francisco unicorns teammates. Oh, he's got the, here we go. You're going to get it up. He's got the, oh, we just see your boot. Keep swinging it. He's got his unicorn socks on. He's got his unicorn socks on. I should have worn it's a little unicorn. So you got the unicorn jersey up behind Liam there. A lot happening here for the teams. And so we're just going to touch on this a little bit. I'm going to focus on first the blokes from the unicorns that could get IPO contracts, which I'm excited about. So KKR has 6 overseas spots they need to fill. They have 64 crore to mm-hmm. spend. And they need an opener, they need a keeper, and they need 2 fast bowlers, and then a middle order all rounder.
6.4 crore is equivalent to 6 US million, right?
So similar, something like that.
Round about that.
Yeah.
Seven million.
Yeah, something around that. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So they've obviously some of the San Francisco boys, Finn Allen.
So that was my sense. So they need an opener and a keeper, so you can fill that one spot with potentially Finn Allen
mm-hmm.
or Tim Seifert.
Yeah.
Who just scored 100 this morning. Just got 100 for the, in the BBL.
Yeah.
And Finn Allen coming off big 150 in an MLC at the Coliseum, 19 sixes. Two potential unicorns could go to that team. They got rid of their Quinton de Kock, so they got space for an opening keeper.
Yeah, and that's the thing right now. You look at, we touched on this when we're chatting outside, is sometimes the IPL teams, because they're involved in many leagues now, they're in the MLC, KKR have got LA, and then they're also in the Caribbean League, the CPL. Sometimes
they go Dubai, they're all over.
So that's the thing for a unicorn. I don't know how that's going to work out, because if KKR come in and offer a contract, it's like, we want you to play for us, but also we're only going to sign you if you're going to play in the MLC for us, you're going to play in the CPL for us.
Yeah.
So for me, I want the guys to get picked up.
Yeah.
But I hope it's just for the IPL, and I hope they don't get a multi-package deal. Selfishly from me,
yeah.
I'm sure they'll be wanting a full package, but I don't want the guys to go away from the unicorns, because they're such great players for the guy, for the team.
So I think they should get picked up regardless, but I think they have a really good chance of getting picked up by KKR. That's who they need. That's what they're looking for. Obviously, KKR, the biggest spend that's going to be in the IPL is Cameron Green. Cameron Green is going to be the big ticket item, probably going to get a 20 crore deal. He's either going to go to KKR, who has the most purse, or CSK. They're going to be bidding. CSK has 43 crore to deal with. They're also looking for an all-rounder.
What do you want? How much are you going to go for?
How much am I going to go for?
Yeah, what's your...
Oh, well, they need leg spinners.
They need
leg spinners. So I'm putting my name up right here. I know it's only a few hours till the auction goes out, but I'll take whatever crore you got. I'll go leg spin in the IPL.
2 crore.
2 crore. I'll take 3 crore. Whatever.
That's heavy,
I'll take
man.
2 lucker, whatever. Yeah. I'll take 2 whatever. I'll take a couple. I'll take a good meal. A
nice rupee. A couple of rupees and a nice feed.
I'll take a good curry. I love a good curry, so I'll take whatever. So they do need leg spinners, which are few and far between. But I do have answers to some of those things. Hasaranga, if someone's going to pick up Hasaranga, please.
Mm-hmm.
Good leg spinner.
Great player.
So, yes. And then Matt Short, another great unicorn, another great Australian top order batter, could get picked up potentially. Fraser McGurk is released off from the Capitals. My big thing with Jake Fraser-McGurk, he bats up top of the order, I think 3 for unicorns. Mm-hmm. He had a different role. He had Seifert and Short kind of rotate around up top of the order. I want to see him take on a finisher role. I want to see him take on a 7 role. You mentioned that you like him at top of the order.
Yeah.
In India, because it bats a little lower.
Yeah, obviously, he got picked up from Delhi originally, and he had a blinder. He was getting 50 off 17 balls and runs galore up top. He struggled the first year with the unicorns, and then last year he played a little bit of a different role and he looked good.
Yes.
He looked really good. But I still think in the IPL, when the wickets are flat and people are scoring 200, I think he's so dangerous up top because he scores in unique areas. His bat speed is so fast that even if he's trying to hit it over mid-off, he might get a little bit of it and he goes to cover for 6.
Yeah.
I would find him harder to bowl at the top than later on, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he has ability to do both. But if he's going to get picked up, I'll probably see him as a number one or two.
Okay. Yeah, because he's going to bat with – they didn't want him with Raul. You know, the Capitals had Fluff Dupacy and Raul and Fraser McGurk in this kind of rotation, kind of figure it out. They didn't want him. Will he get picked up somewhere else? I hope so. He should get picked up. Your name's here. You could get picked up. Yeah. Let's go through the list of the guys from the Unicorns. And the other one on my big list, Cooper Connolly. I think Cooper Connolly is going to go for big money. Just had a really good 50 in the BBL yesterday. Batted really well for Australia in the little series against India. I think he's going to get picked up. Obviously, bats well. Didn't see much play, I think. Didn't see as much play as some of the other batters for Unicorns, but I think he's going to be, he's like one of the big up-and-coming stars in the cricketing world.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think he models himself on Marsh.
Yeah.
Like that bat swing, and he picks the ball up well from length, a very good cutter of the ball. But I think even when you talk about Matt Shaw and you talk about Cooper Connolly, it's what do they do against spin? And I think a lot of the IPL teams and the selection is, are they good against spin? Mm. It's a little bit different playing in Australia and playing in England when the ball bounces, because Shaw and Cooper are very good against that. But what's their stats? What's their numbers against spin? Because that plays a massive part in the IPL. So sometimes that'll hinder if someone gets selected or not. Matt Short's played before, but I think he'd be a great pickup because he can ball spin also, and he picks up wickets. He gets MVP of the Big Bash many years in a row because he's such a good cricketer and he can be very useful bat and ball.
Yeah. No, he's very good. Also, we have Xavier Bartlett, handy all-rounder.
Yep.
Game-saving match against MI. Love that game. That was the game I think you got to do there where you got your wicket. I don't know. I don't know which game that was. They're all a bit of a blur.
Yeah.
But that was at the Coliseum, match winning. You know, they had to chase 60 runs off 20 balls, whatever, and he got it. Very good. He can score runs with the bat. And he can save you a tail. He's a tail-ender finisher. And very good with the ball. He was equal most wickets taken in MLC with 17 wickets. Yeah, with Asaf Ralph, with Harris Ralph with 17 wickets each. Should get picked up.
I think so. He's good with a new ball. He hits the seam. But I think what I like about him also is his death balling. He's very good at hitting Yorkers. Wide hole. He's going to hit someone on the boot. And to be honest with you, I knew he could bat, but I didn't know he could bat that well.
Mm.
And I think that's a massive part for him to come down the order, maybe 8, 9, or maybe 7, 8. And I think he can smoke the ball. I think that would be a great pickup. Whether he's going to be in the starting 11, I'm not sure. But he's going to be a great squad player. And he's going to add a lot to a team.
Yeah, I love to see him in. Like I said, CSK needs some all-rounders. KKR needs some all-rounders. Even Hyderabad looking for a fast bowler and a lower order batter, middle order batter, could get picked up around there. Also, you got Romario Shepherd. Is he another all-rounder that could fit into an RPL team?
Oh, I mean, he'd be one of the first picks.
One of the first picks?
I think with him, what I was impressed about as well is he wanted to learn about the game. He just came and played last year, right? He was with Bangalore. They won the... won the championship, right? He came across, and it's kind of the first time I've met him, and he wants to learn. He's picking people's brain. He wants to face the best bowlers in the nets. He wants to challenge himself. The sweatiest person I've ever met. But I think, honestly, he's like, for now, it's like where Andrew Russell used to get picked up, like one of the first people. I think Shepherd will be one of the first people on people's list to pick up.
I think he still is retained by RCB, but okay. I think he's going to be, you know, another big, he's a big unicorn that's playing in the IPL that's going to make some noise. And like I said, because Russell retired, he's retired from IPL.
Yeah.
So it's KKR has to fill that void. Hopefully we still get him in in MLC. Hopefully we still get him. He's a crowd favorite. Everyone loves him. Yeah, a lot happening there. Like I said, CSK looking for an all-rounder. I got people like Ravindra, Mitchell, Bracewell. These guys all play MLC potential, could go for some money.
Yeah.
Great value there. You know, Ravindra been very good for Washington Freedom. Mitchell batted very well. Also bowled. Can bowl. And also bats very well for New Zealand.
Yeah.
Took a lot of runs there. And Bracewell also did very well.
It's funny, isn't it, the IPL? The people that you think are going to get picked up don't, and then you get random people get picked up, because the amount of studying that goes into every player from the IPL stats guys is crazy. So you'll get someone who maybe is new on the block and they see something. He might be great bowling against left-handers, or he might be a great batsman who can smack leg spin, and they might pick him up for that specific reason.
Yeah.
So the amount that goes into it is crazy. So there's going to be also some shock pickups, I think.
Yeah, sure, pickups. Surely going to be also be some shock potential not pickups. I mean, there's realities. Correct. Where some people don't get retained. I think Devin Conway's going to go in the first round. I think Devin Conway is the first person off the rank. May not get retained. May not get picked up. Also, people like Steve Smith are in the auction. You would think that you would want to have Steve Smith in a team just for having him as a team player, right? Or does that matter? Do IPL teams matter? Care about that?
I think so. I mean, he's such a great player, and he can change the game. What he did for Washington Freedom in the final, is it 2 years back?
Yeah.
And even so, when he plays, he's great with the white ball and red ball. I think last year he got picked up late on, and he was with Delhi. I think you'd want him in your squad.
Yeah.
Because you know he could come up and open the batting and get hundreds for you.
Right.
I think he'd be a good pickup, good cricket brain, one of the best players that's ever played the game. So it'd be silly not for him to get picked up.
Yeah, and you could get him potentially a little cheaper because it's not like he's superly being attained. Like, they're not really trying to go after him right now. He hasn't played that much. He's been a little gap. Like, he didn't play MLC last year with all the stuff with the World Chess Championship or everything. So, but he does want to play T20 cricket. He does want to play in the Olympics. He does want to be in this format.
Oh, he's gonna be grinding in Manhattan.
He's gonna be grinding with us in Manhattan. Century cricket. Right, you know? That's right. But I did hear from one of the IPL people in around the league. Like, when they look at a player, they're looking at their value, not just their value as a player, but their value off the field and what they can bring, like ticket sales, merch sales, what that player means to the organization as a name.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that and how that kind of plays into like IPL? Because IPL is so big. It's such a big moneymaker.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, right? You want people who can perform, but if they can bring in crowds also and sell jerseys with a name on, sell tickets, get people to, bums in seats, get people to watch the TV, they're going to do it. I mean, Dhoni is one of the best finishers of all time, and he's prolonged his career because he offers so much to that franchise. When you think of Chennai, you think of Dhoni. So potentially, is he going to be the player that he used to be? He's not, and he's not been. He'll come in, smack a few sixes and stuff, but he's not going to get a quick 50 off 18 balls.
He's going to be playing till he's dead.
And that's the thing. He's keeping still so great, and he's bringing people in.
He's keeping my stars, he's keeping. Like, I've been watching some highlights, because we talked about Carey a lot, how he kept well. Mm. Like, Carey keeping well isn't even close to where Dhoni keeps. Like, they're not even on the same ballpark.
Question for you. Is Dhoni playing, potentially stopping a youngster coming through and stopping Chennai winning the title?
Probably. Yeah.
You said it, not me. This guy said it.
Right. He's locked in the keeper's spot, right? Yep. So one position is keeper, which has to be locked down. Do you play him at eight instead of in the batting order?
He still smacks him last year.
He still can smack him. But like, so at that point now, do you say, well, go and open, just go out and smack it. Just go out and smack it. If you get 20 off six balls or you get out, it doesn't matter. Like, just kind of reverse the order. Does that play?
No, I think you still got to play him where he bats because that's what he's great at. I think not many people can do what he does. I think up top, you have the ability to play a proper opening batsman because he can still pick the gaps, right? I think you want someone who can clear the rope at the back end, who can hit it over the top of the fielders, so that you don't need to waste him up top, I don't think.
You don't need to waste him up top?
Nah, I don't think so, mate.
So
it's also Dhoni. He'll do what he wants to do.
That's right. So, yeah, that's kind of my little thoughts, a little IPL update there. It's going to be very early in the morning, US time, when this auction goes. It'll be interesting to see where everyone lands. And obviously, when it comes time to IPL season, we'll be covering that. We'll be checking in and following how that works. That is the league. That's where all the eyeballs go in cricket.
Crazy. Ashes is huge, but also IPL. The amount of people that watch that, the fanfare, everything that comes with it is exciting. If you've not seen it before, you should definitely check it out because that's kind of not the pinnacle. International is a pinnacle, but in terms of how big it is as a sport in a country like India, it's crazy.
Yeah, the amount of like eyeballs compared to baseball or NFL, it is like it's double. It's double whatever you think happens in America. Like, it's so much bigger. Because that's all they do. That subcontinent, like India, they got a billion people and they only do cricket.
Yeah.
That's all they do. So,
I mean, you have people in India who'll come to watch players get off the bus. They'll then go to work and come watch the players get back on the bus. They love it. It's like a religion to them. They're fully behind it. It's many, many years in history in the family. And it's such a passion for the Indian fans. And yeah, they love it. That's them. They love it.
That is. And that's cricket. Indians love their cricket.
That's cricket.
Team, that's cricket. We look forward to seeing you guys on the live stream. Thank you to Runmaker for sponsoring the video. And guys, we'll see you the live stream. That's cricket.
See you tomorrow. That's cricket.
That's cricket.